Hello, I'm Tom Lusher. I'm a member of the management committee of the European Society of Cardiology and the cardiologist in London, UK. And I have the pleasure today to talk to Alan Fraser, who is professor of cardiology at Cardiff University and past chairman of the ESC Regulatory Affairs Committee. Welcome, Alan.
Thank you.
So, Alan, the new European Union Medical Device Regulation, in short, the MDR, will enter into force this Wednesday, May 26, 2021. And you did a huge amount of work in this context. Could you please explain to us what it is?
So the Medical Device Regulation is a new law that governs the processes for approving medical devices in the European Union. It was passed by the European Parliament in 2017, but with a three-year transition period. So it should have been implemented last year, but that date was postponed by 1 year because of the pandemic. So indeed, as you say, it's now coming into effect this week throughout the European Union. And it's important for us because, as you'll know, all medical devices are classified by risk. The highest risk class is class three, and of all class three medical devices, perhaps even 50% approximately are cardiovascular. Certainly the biggest single proportion of high risk medical devices used throughout our clinical practice is within our specialty. So we depend, as we know, on multiple types of devices. We need them to be assured as safe, as effective, and we need to understand the way in which they've been approved.
Yes, of course. That's very important for our ESC community indeed. So what do our colleagues need to know about this MDR in their practice as of today?
Well, the basic process of evaluating and approving devices hasn't really changed significantly. The manufacturer still undertakes preclinical research, collects clinical evidence that is then submitted in a file to a notified body, and they are independent commercial organizations throughout the European Union, which have been approved by their national regulators to undertake these tasks. And if the notified body is satisfied on review that the evidence is that the device meets the required standards, then they will issue a certificate which allows the manufacturer to put a CE mark for Conformité Européenne on its device. So that has not changed, but there are specific aspects that have, and we discussed some of these in a paper that we published from the Regulatory Affairs Committee in the European Heart Journal last year that gives details. For example, each hospital now needs to keep careful track of any high-risk implants so that patients can be followed if there are complications, or they can be reviewed if there are concerns. We also have to give user cards to patients when they have devices implanted. For the notified bodies in the process that I've just described, there are now much more carefully defined and detailed requirements for the reviewers, who have to be very experienced and good at what they do. For us clinically, however, perhaps what's most important is that the clinical standards, the evidence that is required for high-risk devices, is now going to be much more detailed than before. There is also a scrutiny process so that the evaluation of the evidence that has been done by a notified body is now going to be reviewed by an independent committee of clinical experts. And their evaluation will be published. It'll be in the public domain. We should be able to read what they think about the evidence that was presented when a device was approved. And a lot of that evidence is also going to be publicly available for the first time, because the manufacturer needs to prepare a document called an SSCP, which is a summary of safety and clinical performance. And they're going to be available eventually on the EudaMed website and portal from the European Union, before then from manufacturers' websites. So when we are treating individual patients, we will be able to read that evidence now.
All right, that's very important to know. The ESC Regulatory Affairs Committee that you chaired until recently played a key role in shaping these European rules on medical devices, and it also provided, of course, expertise to the decision makers and regulators of that institution. Could you kindly explain why it was so important for the ESC to engage in this process?
Well, I think it's important because there is a tension, if you like, in any part of the world, in any regulatory jurisdiction, between approving devices too quickly, where we may then have unexpected risks, or being too strict, in which case perhaps important and useful innovations might be delayed from reaching patients. And unfortunately, we see different countries and areas around the world perhaps trying to compete to make life easy for the developers and the manufacturers. And I have problems with that because I think the standards should be the same everywhere. But the important point, the most important point, is that the balance between evidence and safety and new advances needs to be set on the basis of scientific evidence. And within Europe, the European Commission is only a legislative organizing body. The expertise is in the notified bodies, 3,000 people doing these evaluations, but their work is not publicly accessible. They don't engage in public discussions. And so we need, as clinical associations and experts, to help the European Commission to understand where standards should be set.
Okay, you also suggested or indicated that cardiologists could contribute with their expertise to the practical implication of these new European rules, of course, only for cardiovascular devices. And could you please elaborate on this a little bit?
Well, I think there are multiple ways in which we can all contribute individually. As I've already said, we now all have access to evidence, so that when we're prescribing a device for an individual patient, we should be able to make a much wiser choice or an evidence-based choice. Many of us will want to contribute to research projects, of course, but all of us now should be recording data about the performance of high-risk devices once they've been implanted, contributing to post-market registries. That's an essential part of the system, and I think we should all view it as part of routine clinical practice. And then beyond that, if individuals want to get involved in what is now developing as a sort of academic subspecialty of regulatory science, then you can contribute at a national level to health technology assessment, or as an advisor to a regulatory agency, or as a part-time evaluator for a notified body. You can also apply to the European Commission to be a member of one of these expert panels to do the scrutiny process. And of course, within the ESC, we have a continuing role as advocates for scientific excellence within European Union legislation and the evaluation structures.
So you now lead a new European-funded project called CoreMD, which apparently focuses on the reviewing methods for the evaluation of high-risk medical devices in our area of interest. What is the project about, and what's the role of the ESC in there?
Well, the ESC was the primary applicant for this project, and it's going to manage this Horizon 2020 project. CoreMD stands for Coordination of Research and Evidence for Medical Devices. And we're running this with fellow medical associations in Europe. But it's also a unique consortium because actually, for the first time, we now have regulatory agencies and notified bodies and patients' associations and health technology assessment and national institutes of health all collaborating in the project as partners and also with advisors from industry. So this has never happened before. And we have a three-year project to evaluate the methodology for clinical trials for high-risk medical devices and to recommend new methods and to recommend how we can develop our registry programs, such as EuroHeart, which the European Society of Cardiology is running, so that it can meet the needs of the regulators as well as the evidence needs that we need in medicine as a whole. So this is a very nice challenge for 3 years. We're very pleased to have been funded to do that, and the ESC will be leading this important project.
Well, congratulations on that. We're really looking forward to that. That's very, very important, as you mentioned. And I think with that, we really covered the field. It's a new a decade of device evaluation, and we should be involved as a society and as physicians in our own hospital and in the committees that are open to us, as you mentioned. So thank you very much, Alan, for enlightening us on this important new development in the European Union.
Thank you.
Thank you.